105.7 KLZZ Reno's Classic Rock. Joining me right now, this is such an honor. It's our good friend Ricky Phillips, who so many of you have seen recently as he's been teamed up with Styx. How long have you been with Styx now? 8 years?
You know what? I just started my 15th year with Styx about a month ago.
No kidding. It does. It seems like it was just the other day that Glenn Burtnick left and you saved the day. You came on in. Of course, if you guys are rockers, you know that Ricky Phillips was, you know, the bottom end of the Babies, and he always convinced you about that midnight rendezvous, okay?
But, absolutely.
Ricky has done something really amazing. Of course, Ronnie Montrose, we lost Ronnie, and he had just done one of his last shows. It may have been his last shows, and here in Reno, Nevada, at the Cargo, yeah. And we lost Ronnie right after that. But Lisa, Ronnie's widow, really gave you the green light to make his last record a reality. And so, from all of us Montrose fans, all of us who loved Ronnie so much, and we're just devastated when we lost him. We want to thank you for making this real. Now, to let you know, folks, the record is called 10 by 10, Ronnie Montrose featuring Ricky Phillips and Eric Singer. This is the 10 tracks that he had been working on for a long time. And some of the people that you got to pitch in and make this a completion, Eric Martin, Dave Menichetti, Edgar Winter, Rick Derringer, Sammy Hagar, Steve Lukather, Glenn Hughes, Phil Cullen, Tommy Shaw. Oh, Tommy Shaw, that track is just amazing. Strong Enough.
Yes.
Mark Farner from Grand Funk Railroad. Mm-hmm. Joe Bonamassa. Bruce Turgeon, who a lot of people don't know that he had a lot of time he spent with Lou Gramm, a Foreigner. Who Absolutely. Else? We've got Davey Pattison, who played with Ronnie and Gamma.
Yeah.
Mark Bonilla, Greg Raleigh from Journey and Santana. Ricky Phillips, we're talking about the new Ronnie Montrose record, 10 by 10. And it's not a tribute album. It is the tracks he was working on. You made it real. This is just amazing. Thank you so much for bringing this to us fans.
Well, thank you, Max, and thanks for recognizing that. I know you say you're a fan. I'm a huge fan of Ronnie's, and in making this record, I became even more of a fan. Ronnie and myself and Eric Singer, who is the drummer from Kiss, had been working together as sort of a power trio with a few singers, and Ronnie was all of a sudden, he'd gone from rock and roll to doing acoustic albums to producing jazz artists. He never liked to repeat himself, but he finally had come full circle. And when we started playing together, he said, "I want to get this down. This sounds too good. We've got some magic in our little power trio. Let's get this recorded." And we didn't really know where we were going with this, but Ronnie had exact ideas on the way he liked to record. He kept using the term old school.
I had a
room. There's a guy named Doug Messenger had a studio that I used to produce projects out of. I loved the room because it was 2-inch tape. And matter of fact, check this out, Max. It's the same machine they recorded The Wall on. It's an old Stevens machine.
Whoa.
And Doug had hot-rodded this little room. It was very affordable, but it was a very powerful little place to work. And I turned Ronnie onto it. He loved it. We started cutting tracks. And Ronnie didn't want any click tracks. He didn't even really want to complete or over-rehearse the stuff. We had probably about 7 songs that we pretty much knew what the arrangements were, and then there were about 3 songs that we kind of created on the spot, and Ronnie just said, you know, guys know the arrangement, you know the parts, and I'm just watch me, and I'll signal you where to go. So when we went in to record, that was the only time that those songs, they've never been performed since then, except to do overdubs and finish the tracks themselves. He really believed that, you know, music is supposed to move. For many years, I'd worked with producers in L.A., and you'd work to click tracks so they could move things around, and they'd sing them. It became, that's kind of, I think, one of the downfalls of what happened in the late 80s when everybody had the same haircut and the same spandex pants. You couldn't tell, every band sounded the same.
Even. Exactly.
And that's kind of, it morphed into, that's what you had to do to get on radio. So I understand how it happened, and there was no stopping it. but it finally purged itself and kind of rock and roll. We had a falling out with the listening public because of it. And Ronnie wanted to go back to that sweet spot that came out of really the 70s when, not an intelligence, but a
pop. Let's call it spontaneous combustion of three people making music as a force, as a unit. Not separate components. You know, it's like the way records were being made, it was like baking a cake. You had different layers that would be done to make this thing come to its fruition. We can blame Tom Scholz for that. But that was that Boston sound. But, you know, this goes back to the raw everybody. So by the time you got a hold of people like Eric Martin and Dave Menichetti and Sammy Hagar and Edgar Winter, the music was done. They came in and added their vocals or their lead guitar.
Well, it's funny you should say that because Ronnie thought that any rock band worth its salt at the very core was a power trio.
He
believed that those three guys, that guitar player and that drummer and that bass player, needed to record with the same vibe, the same feelings at the same time. And if he could capture some of that, maybe there's a little bit that isn't really completely worked out, that energy he wanted to capture for the first time as the light goes on red for record. And I learned a lot. I thought I kind of was on that same school of thought, but Ronnie was very much on his game. And I will say this, Max, when he came up with the 10x10 concept before he died, he called me up and said, look, I don't want this project to die on the vine. These tracks are smoking. And they're too good to walk away from. So I have an idea. Tell me what you think. He said, I want to call it 10x10, which is our 10 tracks, our 10 songs with 10 different singers.
Yeah.
And so he commandeered, he got Sammy, he got Edgar, he got Mark Farner, Greg Raleigh. These were all friends of ours, but dear friends of Ronnie's and guys that Ronnie worked with. So he had started the thing in motion. When I picked it up, there was a ton of work to do, but I knew where Ronnie was going. He had enough down there, and his guitars were so loud and proud that there was this foundation where I basically approached and kind of thought back to discussions and about different players and people we liked or maybe didn't like and didn't think they got it, or guys that were totally got it. And we'd laugh at, you know, this was our passion, our love. So when I had kind of picked up the baton to carry on, I could refer to these things. I knew what Ronnie liked. 90% of the time, Ronnie and I were pretty akin to what we liked, but there were certain things that we would not necessarily disagree on, but I had a different taste or whatever.
Yeah.
When Ronnie was in the Edgar Winter group, that was a huge, huge influence on me. So he part of my DNA is Ronnie Montrose.
Yeah.
And from that going to Montrose, Eric Singer always said, you know, Montrose, come on, let's face it, that first Montrose record was required reading for every
Exactly. Sammy Hagar told me, if you just tuned in, we're talking to Ricky Phillips, from The Babies, from Styx, from so many other great, great musical ventures. But Ricky Phillips has just finished this album and released it. Ronnie Montrose's last recording, 10x10, 10 tracks, 10 different singers. It's available now. Sammy Hagar told me once, he said, I could have never sang the way I did if I didn't have Ronnie to take care of the guitars, because both of them are guitar players, and both of them, you know, I mean, Ronnie's an amazing player. Sammy, great writer.
Yeah.
But Sammy said he could have never sang the way he did without having Ronnie Montrose on guitar.
Well, and they do have so much magic together. When the track on this record that Sammy does, Colorblind.
Yeah.
The first time, I mean, Ronnie wasn't going to play me anything when he first started working on this stuff, but then he called me one night and said, oh, God, I got to play this for you. I can't stand it anymore. And when I heard it over the phone, it was just a bare bones basic track, but with so much juice in that basic track, with Sammy kind of just singing the song, I knew we were onto something.
From the first moment you hear Sammy, it just all falls into place. You just know this is for real.
I agree. Yeah, and that's the thing, is like all the people who ended up being on this record, Glenn Hughes. Glenn came in after there was a track actually that was unfinished, and I wasn't sure what to do with it. The only track that of the initial tracks of mine that I had written that remains on the album is a song called The Kingdom's Come Undone, which was initially called Thy Kingdom's Come Undone. And Ronnie said, you know, I want to get rid of that. It's obviously biblical, but I don't want to put thy. Can we just change it to The Kingdom's Come Undone? And I said, yeah, absolutely. That doesn't kill it for me. And Ronnie wanted all denominations are welcome, all political parties. Everybody's welcome in the Ronnie Montrose camp. They to enjoy the music.
Yeah.
And he just didn't want, he was almost overly cautious, but totally knew what he wanted. And so I was talking about Glenn coming in to sing. When I talked to Glenn and Ronnie
Glenn
and I,
Hughes,
we did shows together.
Deep Purple.
We loved Glenn, but Glenn will only sing something if he believes the lyric. And I'd written this song, still singing with the band. If you listen to it, I've taken lines from Edgar Winter Group songs. I've taken lines from Montrose, Paper Money's in there, I think. There's one line that says, any true young-blooded rocker can testify.
Yeah.
And so I created this storyline of Ronnie's career and called it I'm Still Singing with the Band, but Mama, She Still Don't Understand. And Glenn loved it, and he just tore it up. He did a great performance.
He's a monster. You know, one of the things, we're talking about Ronnie Montrose, the new album is called 10x10. It's amazing, and our good friend Ricky Phillips made it happen. The 10 tracks that Ronnie was working on before he passed, 10 songs with 10 different singers. And one of the things that Ronnie, it stuck with me every now and then, you know, he gave me so many guitar lessons that it wasn't, you know, so much the textbook learning of the music as it much was the feel. The feel was all about what you're feeling. And one thing I'll never forget about Ronnie saying is think through the goal. Don't think about the goal. Think through the goal.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a new one on me. I do remember Ronnie saying he felt that guitar solos, started playing all the pyrotechnic exercises they may have learned while they were, you know, growing up, instead of just letting it take them on a journey. And the best line that he ever said about a solo was, a guitar solo, a rock guitar solo, is like sex.
Yes.
He said, you don't start with the frenzy. You start slow. You work up to the frenzy.
Yeah.
And that's, he really liked guys who played with, he loved Joe Walsh, he loved all the guys that are on this record, and he liked Billy Gibbons and guys that made you kind of almost laugh or smile or feel something, because they were telling a story through guitar speak, and that was very important to Ronnie.
Hey, Ricky Phillips, thank you so much for joining us. We're talking to Ricky Phillips. The new album is called Ronnie Montrose 10x10. 10 tracks with 10 different singers, and your good friend Eric Singer from Kiss and so many other great bands, Badlands and all that.
Yeah.
But the two of you crossed that bridge, made it real. It is available now. Find it on iTunes. Find it online. It's Ronnie Montrose 10x10 featuring Ricky Phillips and Eric Singer. Thank you so much on behalf of all of us fans for bringing us another Ronnie Montrose record, and it is so rock and so real. Good job, man. It's just, I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, thank you, Max. That means a lot. And thanks for letting me get on my little pedestal and talk about Ronnie Montrose, because I think this is an important record. It seems like there's a lot of rock and roll all of a sudden on the charts again, and this record right here will definitely wave a big flag for Ronnie and for good players, man, and guys that just totally, there's a lot of young guns out there that are really good.
Yeah.
And I hope they listen to this record, because there's a lot to learn from.
Yeah, well, you know, they say if you want to learn how to sing, listen to the old Doobie Brothers and Eagles records, right?
Yeah.
If you want to learn how to play, listen to Ronnie Montrose.
There you go.
Thank you so much, Ricky. Have a great day, man. Are you going golfing?
You know, I'm leaving on the road tomorrow, so I got to get ready and get out of here. But I'm taking the sticks with me and hopefully find a day off somewhere.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ricky. Enjoy your day, man.
Thanks, Max. You too. Take care.